Eternal God and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of gathering in this place with the Word, thy Word before us. We thank thee for thy lovely Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us so much that one day he went to Calvary. He shed his precious blood to take away our sin. We thank thee for the one who paid the price of our redemption. He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. We thank thee this afternoon that we come to worship thee, righteous, holy, almighty God. When we come standing in the merits of Jesus Christ, robed in the righteousness of Christ, accepted in the Beloved. Bless us as we open thy word for Jesus' sake. Amen. I want us to open God's word together, please, in the book of the Psalms. And the psalm is the Psalm 126, Psalm 126. I want you to follow God's reading here in Psalm 126, just six verses of this passage of God's truth. Commencing to read verse number 1. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then they said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us. Whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious and his infallible truth. Beginning with Psalm 120 and continuing to Psalm 134, these psalms in their scriptures are called the Songs of Degrees. You'll notice that in my Bible it says that in each one of them. After Psalm 120, a Song of Degrees. Psalm 121, a Song of Degrees, to Psalm 134. And these were sung by the pilgrims who were traveling to Jerusalem to keep the various feasts, the feast days in the religious calendar of Israel. There were stations along the way where they would stop and they would find rest and refreshment. And while they were there, they would sing one of these psalms in worship to the Lord. Psalm 126 that we have read together is the seventh of the 15 songs of degrees. It is a special psalm because it reminds them of the Lord's past dealings in their lives and in the life of their nation. And of course, the promise of God to carry on that work in the future. And just as the pilgrims were progressing and going upward to Jerusalem, so as we who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ ought to be pressing on our way to our heavenly Zion, that beautiful city of God. I ask you a simple question as we commence. Is there that progression in your Christian life? Are you walking closely with the Lord? And in the light of God's precious and God's holy word, the hymn writer said, my heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise or fears give way. And even as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. And every one of God's children ought desire to be planted their feet on higher ground, walking closer and closer with the Lord and in fellowship with Him. You'll notice the psalm opens here with the cause of the rejoicing. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, our tongues with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. And then the response was in verse 3, the Lord hath done great things for us. Whereof we are glad. And so we can understand why that they were singing this psalm. The children of Israel sang this song of deliverance. They were remembering the goodness. They were remembering the grace of God. They were remembering the days that they were in bondage. And then how that God delivered them out of that bondage. They had left the oppression. They had left the bondage. They had been held captive by the enemy. But praise God, they're not captive anymore. And therefore they're singing the song of deliverance. Yes, God turned the captivity of Zion. And they were acknowledging this was of the Lord. And friend, is it not true today that as I stand in this pulpit, I can say the Lord hath done great things for me, whereof I am glad, because once I was in the bondage of my sin, once I was held captive by my sins and the power of the devil, but praise God, He saved me. Glory to God, He rescued me from my sin, and He cleansed me in His precious blood. And I acknowledge that all the glory and all the praise goes to the Lord. And I can say, the Lord hath done great things for me. Whereof I'm glad. The cause of the rejoicing, because of what God had done for them. And floods after floods of joy entered their soul. Maya said that we were like them, the dream. But praise God, it's not a dream. It's real. And the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ is a real salvation. It's an eternal salvation. Thank God He has saved us from our sins. And He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. We have liberty and freedom which we have found only in Jesus Christ. Not have I gotten, the hymn writer said, but what I received. Grace hath bestowed it since I have believed, boasting excluded, and my pride abased. For at best I'm only a sinner saved by grace. Yes, it says here, then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. Even the ungodly could see it. Even the ungodly have got to acknowledge it. Yes, the Lord hath done great things for them. And friends, I ask you this question. Do the ungodly see Christ in us? Can they say concerning us, the Lord hath done great things for them? In Singapore, in this Cornerstone congregation, the Lord hath done great things because He hath set us free. It says, then was our mouth filled with laughter. Oh, they were joyful. They were rejoicing in the Lord. And you know, I say this, God's people ought to be the happiest people in the world. You, some people have got this idea that somehow that the Lord saves us and then God some drains us out of our happiness and our joy. No, it says this, then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongues with singing. And the world had to acknowledge the Lord has done great things for them. And the response was this, yes, the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Are you happy in Christ today? We sing a little chorus back home, if you want joy, real joy, wonderful joy. Let Jesus come into your heart. Is that what we show to the world? Is that what the world see whenever they look at us? They see somebody filled with the joy of the Lord, because the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. Are you strong today in the Lord and in the power of His might? And are you happy in Christ? God hasn't saved you to make you miserable. Thank God we were miserable in the bondage of our sin. But hallelujah, we're delivered today. We're washed in the blood. We are a child of the King. We're on our way to heaven. What more can we ask for? The children of the Lord have a right to shout and sing, for our ways are growing bright and our souls are on the wing. We're going by and by to a palace of a king. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But then very quickly, look at the call for reviving. Verse 4. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. You see, they realized that there were many still left in bondage. You know, there was many of them were still in Babylon. But for that remnant, what they longed that others would be delivered too. They were asking God, they longed for more. Yes, God had delivered them, but they longed that others would be delivered. Is that your desire today? That others would be saved from their sin? That others might know that peace and joy that only Christ can bring. Psalm 44 says, "We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us." Yes, the great things that God did in their day. But friend, what about today? Do you long for God to send the floods of revival water again? In this, our day, in this, our generation, oh, for a mighty stirring of God. Do you believe that God can still do it? I do. I believe that God can send the gracious movement of His Holy Spirit in these days in which we live. Godly Knox cried out, "Give me Scotland or I die." George Whitefield was so burdened for the lost, he said, "Give me souls or take my soul." The Apostle Paul said, "I wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kindred, according to the flesh." He said, "My heart's and desire and prayer to God is for Israel that they might be saved." Do you want others to know what you have in Christ? Do you want others to experience the joy and the peace and the happiness that you have in your soul? Do you want God to come again and send a gracious movement of His Spirit that many will be brought into the kingdom? I was thinking on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 souls under one sermon, 3,000 souls were saved. Tell me, does God not do that anymore? Has God changed? And then it says, God added to the church daily. It wasn't a surprise what God was doing, friend. They expected God to do it. And the sad reality is today that many of God's people don't expect God to do it anymore. And God added to the church daily such I should be saved. But then notice in verses 5 and 6, and we come to the heart of what I want to say, is the conditions for reaping. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. When the people came back to Jerusalem, when they came back to their homeland, they found it destroyed. The ground and the fields were fallow. There was no harvest. There was little food to eat. says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Churchill, at the time of the war, promised the people of the United Kingdom blood, sweat, and tears. That's all he could promise them as they faced war. And all these people had were a few precious seeds. And yet as he looked at those precious seeds, there was the promise of a future harvest. And as he sowed those seeds, and they sowed those seeds in tears, he said, those that sow in tears, they shall reap in joy. And as he took those seeds in their hands and he sowed them, they had faith that as he sowed those seeds, that God would send a harvest. That not only would there be a day of sowing, but there would be a time of reaping. Because they believed that those seeds contained life. An old barren ground, as they sowed the seeds and as they watered the seeds with the tears, they expected, they anticipated that God would send a harvest. And then after sowing the seeds and they waited for the harvest, then they expected they would go back into those fields and they would come rejoicing, bringing their sheaves with them. We sing a hymn in our congregation, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. In other words, there's going to be a harvest for the labor. But notice the conditions. Look at verse number 6 here. This is what I want to leave with you. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Notice first of all the condition here. He that goeth forth. There's the going. See, let's be quite honest. There's so many people want to harvest without having to do anything. We live in a society in the United Kingdom where people, they rely quite often on the government to just give them a living. We have social security. And there are people who never work, but the government will keep them. They do not believe that by the sweat of their brow they earn their bread. They do not believe that they should do something. But there is that expectation, whilst they don't do anything, they're going to receive the benefits. But here's the condition of the harvest. He that goeth forth, bearing precious seed. And here's the farmer, he's going into the field and he's sowing the seed. He's carrying the bag of precious seed in his hand. He's got an assignment. He has got to go forth. He's got to go. He has an assignment. And every child of God, friend, you have an assignment from the Master. It's time to go. We can't sit idly by and let the world go to hell. We can't sit idly by and watch our loved ones perish in their sin. I believe that God's children have a responsibility. It says, he that goeth forth bearing precious seed. You and I have an assignment from the Master that we have got to go. Matthew chapter 21 verse 28. Son, go work today in my vineyard. Matthew chapter 28 verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Our brother quoted it in the baptismal service. Go ye and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Mark chapter 16 verse 15. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark's Gospel chapter 1 verse 38, Jesus said, let us go into the next town that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forward. Jesus said to the demonic of Gadara, he says, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and have compassion on thee. There's a going forth, and here this is, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. And as you are going, friend, as you're going through the sea, are you willing to go for the Master? There's a little verse over in Isaiah chapter 6. I want you to notice something. Isaiah chapter 6, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne. And here the king was dead, but thank God the Lord's living. And whilst people were caught up in the fact that the king was dead, he says, I saw the Lord. I got my eyes not upon my earthly situation. I got my eyes upon the Lord, friend. And that's what you and I need to do. We need to lift up our eyes unto the Lord, get our eyes upon Him. But go down to verse number 8, and I read this the other day. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Whom shall I send? I can hear God saying, whom shall I send to this congregation? But notice what he says next. But who will go? Who will go for us? And you know, there are people that God sends and God calls into the harvest field, but they don't go. They don't obey the Lord. And maybe God is calling someone in this service, whom shall I send? And God is putting His hand upon some young life or some older person in this gathering, and God is saying, I want you to go. I want you to go today into my vineyard. I want you to go into my harvest field. He that goeth forth. But here's the question. Who will go? Who's willing? Young person, if God calls you to serve Him as a missionary, are you willing to go? I remember we used to have, and Brother Ferguson remember this, we used to have the great Easter conventions in Northern Ireland. And the call was given to people to come to the front. And you know what they were saying as they came to the front in that Easter convention? They were saying, Lord, I'm available. If you want me, I'm available to go. I'm willing to go. Who will go? And I challenge you today, listen, are you willing to go in the Savior's name? The world's dying around us. Men and women are perishing. You know, some people say, but you know, there's nothing going to happen. There's no use me sowing the seed because there's nothing going to happen. You don't see what God can do. You seem to say, well, what's the use? I remember hearing the story of a young man from the United Kingdom was sent as a salesman to sell shoes in Africa. After he went there, he was there just for a short period of time. And he sent a message home and he said, listen, I'm coming home. Because people don't wear shoes here. Another young man went to the very same place. He was there for 2 weeks and he sent a telegram home and he said, send more shoes. Possibilities everywhere. See the difference? One man saw those. Or thought there was no use because nobody wore them. And the other young man said, listen, send more because everyone can. Maybe you think today, but God's not able to do what He did before. Friend, He is. God hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, He's the same today. He's the same forever. And there's great possibilities in this congregation. If you will offer yourself to the Lord, friend, and say, Lord, here am I, Lord. That's what the prophet said. Who will go for us? Here am I. Send me. Do you know what the response usually is? Here am I, Lord. Send somebody else. Thy way, O Lord, not mine. Thy will be done, not mine. The fields are white, and they're ready to harvest, but what's the problem? Where are the reapers? Where are the laborers? Where are those that are willing to say, Lord, I'm willing to go if you want me, wherever you want me. Here am I, Lord, send me. I'm available, Lord. Are you, honestly today, are you available to God? He that goeth forth. You've got to go forth, friend. The assignment from God. I was thinking, you know, the Savior. People say, but people are so hard. Listen, the Savior was standing at a well one day. He planted the seed in that woman of Samaria's heart, and thank God, she was gloriously changed. Zacchaeus was up that tree as the Lord Jesus Christ was on his way to Jerusalem. And praise God, that day Zacchaeus was invited by the Savior to come down. He says, and I'll go home with you. And he did. And his life was changed. And friend, there's still power in this gospel to change lives. And there's still power in the blood of Jesus to cleanse from sin. But notice not only the going, he that goeth forth and weeping, there's the groaning. He that goeth forth and weepeth. And I can see these men going out into the fields, and the ground is so hard. And I can see them dropping in the seed, friend, but as they dropped in the seed, they dropped something else. They dropped in a tear. They watered the seed with their tears. And God brought forth a harvest. Now, I'm not talking about emotionalism. But I do believe, my friend, that God's people need to have a broken heart. Amongst many of God's people is a hardness today. They've lost the burden. I remember in the early days of the Free Presbyterian Church in Ulster, I remember the prayer meetings. I heard people praying for their loved ones. But then I heard them pray with a broken heart. And when they prayed for their lost loved ones and their sin that were going to hell, they were so burdened that they wept over their loved ones. But where's the tears today? The Lord Jesus Christ looked over the city of Jerusalem and he said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I, but you would not. And what does it say? Jesus wept. I ask you, when was the last time that you wept over a loved one that's unconverted? When was the last time in the very presence of God, as you thought about a loved one going out to a Christless and unending eternity, they would go to the fires of a hell that's real, where the worm dieth not? The Bible says the fires are never quenched, and they're there for all eternity, forever and forever and forever, lost. And the as you thought about that and you thought about your loved one going to a last eternity, your heart was broken. And God knew you were in earnest. God saw your tears. The psalmist says, put thou my tears in thy bottle. Would God have many tears to bottle among his people today? A broken heart over the lost. What did Jeremiah say? In Jeremiah 9, he says, oh, that my head were waters, and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I may weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Friend, I challenge my own heart. And I say, oh God, please give me a burden. Give me a burden for souls. That as I go, and as I preach thy word, that, oh God, people might know that I believe that thy word's true. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing the precious seed. I remember a young man from a very hard home coming to a gospel meeting one night, and he said this. He said, what touched my heart was this. A preacher standing in the pulpit, weeping over lost souls. God, give me real tears. Not sham, not false. That the sinner might know that I love them for Jesus. Loving sinners for Christ. Very quickly, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. Child of God, no matter where you're going, carry the gospel seed. It's precious seed. That precious seed's the Word of God. It's the living Word. It's the powerful Word. It's the regenerating Word. It's the assuring Word. It's the sustaining Word. It's the saving Word of God. And you have it in your heart. And we have it in our hand. And as we go forth, let us drop in the gospel seed. Is that what you're doing? Wherever you are, wherever God has called you, are you dropping in the gospel seed? Because remember this. My word shall not return unto me void. God says it will prosper. And so, child of God, I challenge you today. Wherever you are, remember, take the gospel seed, sow it. There's the giving. The gospel seed. Here's the last thought. Here's the garnering. Shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves. With 46 years ago, I started sowing the gospel seed in a little town in my community, Macrofelt. We started a little testimony there for the glory and the honor of the Lord. And thank God, through those years, God has saved many precious souls, and many seniors are there today, and on this, the Lord's Day, they're gathering. And many young people are there, many children are there. because of faithful laboring over the years. But we're not finished. We've got to keep doing it. But we have this assurance that when we do it, we'll doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing our sheaves with us. We'll come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Talmage wrote these words: "When I am dying, how glad I shall be that the lamp of my life has been blazed out for thee. I shall not worry whatever I give in time and money one soul to save. I shall not worry that the way has been rough, that thy dear feet led the way was enough. When I am dying, how glad I shall be that the lamp of my life has been blazed out for thee." Some years ago, a minister was visiting. A member of the congregation who was dying. And the old man, who was coming to the end of the journey, reached out his hand to his pastor and he said this. He said, "Pastor, I'm not afraid to die. But," he said, "Pastor, I'm ashamed to die." Because I have nothing. No sheaves to bring. Tell me, friend. At the end of your journey, when God calls you from the scene of time, tell me, will you come rejoicing, bringing your sheaves with you? Or will there be nothing but leaves? No fruit. Give me, Lord, one soul today. Lord Jesus, teach me what to say. Friends of mine are lost in sin and they cannot find their way. Few there are who seem to care, and few there be to pray. God, touch my heart. God, fill my life. And give me souls each day. Maybe you're not saved. I beg you in God's name, surrender your life to Christ. Repent of your sin. Turn to the only Savior and find God. He'll give you a life worth living. And then one day, you'll meet Him who's altogether lovely. Heavenly Father, bless Thy word to our hearts. Save anyone that's not saved. And O God, for those who are Thine, take them into the harvest field to sow the seed and then reap the harvest, in Jesus' name.